As I was sitting on a cold and windy field last week, watching a bunch of 5 and 6-year-olds running in mass with a soccer ball, I was literally laughing out loud. Some of the kids were looking up. Some of them were way more interested in the games going on around them. One of the girls pulled out her loose tooth and very proudly handed it to her dad, the coach, in the middle of the game. Most of the kids were all trying to do the same thing at the same time, which would result in the ball being kicked from 3 different directions. Frustration from those who knew what was happening, joy from those who were proud to kick the ball, and a few wipeouts. These kids were having so much fun, jumping up and down, cheering for each other, and moving their bodies all around. I think that it's because I've been thinking about this scripture for this morning, and as I did so, I kept coming back to that word, victory. That when one of the kitty kicker soccer coaches yelled, "Come on now, we need this victory," it really caught my attention. My first reaction was, I have been warned about this. How is it possible that sitting here, laughing out loud, watching Will and others like him having so much fun, to another parent, this game meant a victory? It made me think about the vast differences that we all have in the definition of victory. Because, to be honest, most mornings, a victory for me is getting everyone out of the house, on time, with everything they need, with no one yelling and no one crying. And just in case you're keeping track, these victories do not happen often at the Hanover House. If you Google the word victory, the first image you'll see is a person standing on top of a mountain with their arms outstretched to the sky and their hands open. I really like that image, and as I thought more about it, to me it said more about strength. I can understand why this might be a symbol for victory, and I know this might be hard for you to believe, but I don't know the first thing about mountain climbing, but I do know that it takes great strength. Physically, emotionally, and even possibly spiritually, to endure the hours and the days or even the weeks of climbing, using your body to pull and twist and steady yourself continually upward towards the top, sleeping here and there or not really sleeping at all, enduring the element changes as you make your way towards the top, being very aware that your life is mortal, and that with one slip of the rope, one wrong decision, or by some freak circumstance, you could be faced with a terrible consequence. Being totally surrounded by the quiet and the beauty and the magnitude of this gift that God has given us in creation, and being connected to the world in a way that I will never know. I wonder if this is the victory that Paul writes about in Corinthians when he refers to victory, especially over death. Shifting our focus not so much on what happens after we die, but as much as to be invited to think about how we can be fully aware of the strength we're able to cultivate while we're living, particularly if we're being a disciple of Jesus. Now, as I stand before you this morning, I'm very aware of my own physical limitations because of my very pregnant body. I know in my situation, I will one day have my body back to, quote, normal, but be able to bend and move and stretch in ways I was even just a few weeks ago. But for some, no matter how much good care you have given or continue to give your body, it doesn't change the physical limitations you have to endure. Some of you wake up each day in chronic pain. Maybe you're suffering from an illness or you've had an injury that makes you all too aware that your body just isn't what it used to be. Maybe without any trauma, your body over time has slowed down and just become more achy and painy, making it difficult to get from here to there. Throughout the entire day, your new reality is that your body just doesn't move the way it used to move, making it difficult to do the things you want to do or need to do or simply enjoy doing. Getting through the day, day after day, is a challenge. So thinking back on Paul's letter, perhaps he wanted to stress our relationship with Jesus so that we can know we're not alone. I wonder if part of the reason was to remind us about this man who is fully human, who understands physical pain, his body literally broken down, his story to remind us that no matter how awful your pain is, or how scared you might be, or how alone you might feel, you're not alone. To remember that when we gather here on all those Easter mornings, we're reminded of all the alleluias, and that God's grace is so much bigger than we can understand. It's important to see that victory in having that gift now. God's grace freely given to each of us. It doesn't have to be earned. It can never be taken away. All you have to do is receive it. And we can use it to give us strength or comfort or hope to deal with our day-to-day physical pain. Thankfully, this grace can also be applied to our emotional health. For those that suffer from mental illness, depression, and anxiety, and in our everyday relationships. As we all know, relationships take a lot of work. They can be exhausting and complicated, and those are the relationships with the people that we love the most. Healthy relationships can build us up and give us the support that we need along life's expected and unexpected ways. Being surrounded by people that respect you, support you, and you can be yourself around can often provide you with additional benefits to your well-being. We all know, perhaps too well, the pain that comes when in a relationship you aren't feeling well. Sometimes the people that we thought we loved the most are exactly the people that are tearing us down and keeping us from being our best possible self. Jesus knew about this better than anyone, too. One of his most trusted friends lied about knowing him. Another one betrayed him when his life was on the line. It takes an incredible amount of strength to realize your self-worth and let go of the people in your life that continue to destroy you. This is a place where we try our best to model healthy relationships. As a congregation, we respect each other, we support each other, we offer our prayers for your difficulties and your joys. Whether you're ill or you're grieving or you're celebrating a new baby, we will probably even show up with food. But we will keep each other accountable. We won't enable each other, but we'll take care of each other. This is a congregation that not only knows how to care for one another, but we also want to reach out beyond our walls to our community, to offer a message of strength and victory to those who need to hear it the most, to those that are struggling to have their most essential needs met in this life. Friday night, while I was watching the news, the top story was about a homeless community in Des Moines that was bulldozed down, a piece of land where folks who are homeless had built makeshift homes and gathered for community. We're not exempt to homelessness or affordable housing here in Ames. Many of you were part of an ongoing conversation with Amos, strategizing to find a solution for more affordable housing in Ames. From those conversations, a small group was commissioned with the task to make a plan, and our own Pastor Eileen is one of the co-chairs. As you likely know, we've been raising money for part of our capital campaign to make our building more accessible with better physical access to entering the building, updating our youth room to make sure it meets the fire and health codes, and looking into our sound system so that all that come to worship can hear well. As part of our fundraising, 20% goes to outreach. The women in our church who put on our annual attic to basement sale also abide by the 20% rule. You may have seen our very own Barbaras, Barbara Fadley and Barbara Youngglass, in the paper this week, dropping off cards for fuel to our local emergency residence shelter. The same shelter that many individuals and couples and families in this congregation prepare a weekly meal for and have for years. This is a congregation that genuinely cares about making sure people, all people, have access to essential things that need to live. So, as you define where your strength comes from, what your victory may be for the day, I hope it can bring you as much joy as the kids on that soccer field, enjoying the moment, feeling pride in your own accomplishments, and cheering each other on. There is so much strength to be found in a place where you can really know your vulnerable self. The true victory is having community, where you're welcome no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey. To be surrounded by a group of people who share your common beliefs and recognize how to support you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I hope that this space, Ames United Church of Christ, is or can be that place for you. Amen.